time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
That's what they want. They're hiding. They're hiding this thing. They're partying on that lake. They're brewing beer to buy linebackers.
Russ Gellinger.
It started off as the goal of college athletics was have fun when you're not getting an education in class. And then it became win games. And then it's make money.
And SI's Pat Forty.
You know, what's been done and is being done to college athletics is one of the most vacant, soulless adventures in non-leadership I've ever seen.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, and we have got the unveiling, the secret negotiations for a Pac-12 media deal. White smoke from the downtown San Francisco offices that Larry Scott spent millions on.
That George Kliakoff visits occasionally from
visits Las occasionally. Vegas. Flashing lights from the Larry Scott Vegas suite during the Pac-12 championship tournament. I don't know. Here it is. Not great. ESPN. After months of negotiation uncertainty, Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliakoff Tuesday presented the conference presidents and chancellors with a potential primarily subscription-based Apple streaming deal for its television contract that expires at the end of the year. The deal is Apple. It'll be Apple Plus. The exact amount of money you can make is unknown because it's based on how many subscriptions get sold. Could potentially be billions. Potentially. I'm not sure how you sell that to a group that couldn't get anyone to buy the Pac-12 network subscription, but there they are. And so we're at, it's going to, you know, presumably below the $31.7 million that the Big 12 is offering. Ross, I'll start with you. What more details are there, good or bad, for the Pac-12 on this contract?
Yeah, they're not a lot of good or great details, I think, unfortunately for them. You know, I think that actually multiple proposals were presented to the presidents, at least two, you know, one of which was more lucrative, was a basically exclusive streaming deal, one of which was maybe less lucrative and included some linear partners like Fox taking maybe marquee games and simulcasting them on Apple and in Fox. The MLS does that. But still, the money is pretty low. You know, it's certainly in the 20s, I believe. And depending on escalators and subscription type increases based on those things, it could fall, you know, well below the number that the Big 12 has, the $32 million. And so that's a problem. And also, and you mentioned it there, there's still scars, I think, from the Pac-12 network situation where, you know, figures of subscriptions were presented to athletic directors and as a, you know, these are high numbers, these will be medium numbers, these will be low numbers. And the end result was lower than the low numbers. So that's scared. I think that scare has a lot of teams scared. And, you know, if it was a great deal, right, it would have been released months ago, probably, or it would have been voted on at the meeting or at the end of the meeting. So it's about what everybody kind of expected at this point. But it is a deal where certainly there are decisions that must be made for teams with other options.
This reminds me a little bit of Mike Bianchi, the columnist in Orlando. He used to, when he would file his columns and say, how were they? He's late, long, and lousy. That's kind of how I feel about the delivery of this Pac-12 media deal. It's late. It's taken too long. and it's kind of lousy. Maybe not completely lousy, but when, because we don't know all the details, but this is in the realm of, trust us, this could really be big. And the last time they were told to trust the league office, it blew up on them. So I wouldn't blame the schools for being underwhelmed by this, for being frustrated, for probably feeling like they've been led on a dog and pony show that was going to end up at an unsatisfying place. And now we'll see what the Arizona schools specifically, University of Arizona, but perhaps increasingly in tandem, Arizona and Arizona State decide to do here. So the ball is more or less in their court, and I think that the Pac-12 has really fumbled its chance to solidify itself here. We'll see. They may still come out of it okay, but for right now, I'd be very concerned if I were in that league.
All right, let's go school by school here and play Should You Go. Let's play that. Here, let's make a new game. Should You Go.
There we go. All right. We got a game.
Should You Go? Should You Stay? Should You Go? Pat, we'll start. Arizona. Would you go? Let's say this deal's going to come in at like $10 million less. And you're more on – there'll obviously be some simulcasting. Like Ross said, they do that in MLS. You have to buy the whole season on Apple TV Plus, and we'll see how that goes. They literally invested, gazillions of dollars in Lionel Messi in hopes that people would buy it. But there are, I think, 34 MLS games that will be simulcast. So, like Washington, Oregon, or Oregon, Oregon State, those types of things are going to get simulcast. Somewhere there's going to be an interest in that. So you will get some exposure. But you're going to come in about $10 million less, and you're going to be on this Apple TV Plus. And all the projections, there's no way you're getting that thing done. Arizona, do you say, okay, I'm staying? Or do you say, look, I'm going to go become team 14 in the Big 12 and leave everything out west behind and go with the $10 million more and the stability of the Big 12. Pat?
I'm a little torn in trying to answer that, because from a global standpoint, I think that the destruction of the Pac-12 would be absolutely terrible. But if I'm Arizona...
I'm not talking about your feelings here.
I know that.
But did I mention in the... Okay, I said there's $10 million. There's some exposure, but not that. Was in the question. And then, Pat, how are you emotionally going to accept this? That was not in there.
I'm not even bringing my emotions into it. I'm bringing my feelings about... Not feelings. My sensibilities.
Listen,
about...
We'll get a safe space... How are your feelings? You can get counseling after.
Dan, do you think this is a good thing for the Pac-12 to blow up?
No, it sucks. I tried to tell them.
That's what I think, too.
I've been telling them forever.
That's what I was trying to say. Don't twist my words into feeling stuff. Anyway, if I'm the University of Arizona, I'm chapped right now. I'm like, all right, we've hung in here this long. And I don't like this deal. Now, is it enough to just turn around and walk out? I still think Arizona's better off if you're tied somewhat to California than if you're tied to Texas. But I guess if you're going to put gun to the head and say, are you staying or going? I'm going to say I'm going if I'm Arizona.
Well, you know, if it's $10 million a year, year over year, you're talking about 5 years, it's $50 million. That's a lot of money for an athletic department. I'll answer by talking about something I spent time on, a part of the story last night I wrote about realignment, and that is that Arizona and Arizona State, you know, I think want to stay together. I think the Board of Regents there in Arizona, which will ultimately probably make the decision or have a strong influence on it, wants them to stay in the same conference. So I wonder if they can be split. And that's a question, actually, we asked to Arizona President Robert Robbins in June at an event in Washington, D.C. And he said that Arizona has the authority to go do its own thing, but that it would be unlikely that Arizona and Arizona State would be split. So for Arizona, the question is a little more different, you know, politically. They are facing political issues, and it's nothing new. Of course, we saw that in Oklahoma and in Oklahoma State when all that happened last year. So I think it could be a case where, you know, there's a single decision that has to be made for both schools. And keep in mind, the board, Arizona Board of Regents, you know, manages and oversees both schools. So it's an interesting dynamic there playing out. And it'll be interesting to watch because the Arizona State president, Michael Crow, as I think many know, you know, been in Arizona State for like 20 years, has a lot of influence in the state there. And he's been a chess beater for the Pac-12 forever. You know, he's been like one of the most vocal supporters of the Pac-12. So you would think he'd probably have some pushback on that. So it's kind of be fascinating to watch how these two schools kind of handle things.
Staying or going?
Yeah, I mean, the game is not going well.
Yeah. I would say 10 million. I would say that you go. Yeah, if it's 10 million. If it's 5 million, maybe it's a different, you know, maybe it's a different answer.
I'm going to be like Jordan Belfort in the movie. Say I'm staying. I can't say the word because the quote, but he gets up there and, you know, the IRS and the feds are going to throw him out of Stratmore. What is it? Stratton Oakmont. And he says, I'm staying. I don't know. $10 million, but I just feel like if I'm a Arizona fan, I don't want to go anywhere. I'm staying. And if I'm Arizona as a school, I'm staying. And we've talked about this many times. The weirdest thing about college sports is they sold the fans on the bottom line. And they sit around and brag about how much their TV deals are worth. And it does not impact the ticket prices, the sweatshirts, the hoodies and all that. Doesn't always even affect how much you're on TV. It doesn't affect often success. Like, would you have rather been Cincinnati the last X number of years or I don't know, Indiana football, right? Well, they're right next to each other. One of them made a playoff and won lots of games and one didn't. But, oh, look how much money we got over here. Well, great. You don't get the money. Can Arizona be competitive in basketball under this thing? Football, they're never competitive. Nobody even cares. They have this huge stadium. They have a hard time filling. It's a gazillion degrees out during football season. Like, how many Arizona football fans are like, we have to grab every last $1 million because that's what's going to put us over the top if we jump to the Big 12? I'm not talking about the Big 10 or the SEC here. I'm talking about the Big 12. What are you getting out of this other than money? I don't know.
Fans don't get a vote.
Well,
I know also, they don't get a vote, but
there's this about long-term stability too. You know, like I think there's a concern of like the, you know, this is probably going to be a short-term right deal. The Pac-12 signs 5-6 years or so. So when that comes open again, which is going to be simultaneous with the Big Ten's deal, you know, does the Big Ten expand again or something? I mean, the viability long-term of the Pac-12, I think, is a concern for some programs. And I think ultimately that's one of the big things why Colorado jumped. They see maybe a longer-term viability in the conference situation in the Big 12.
But the University of Arizona is not going to get left behind. I don't believe that. Dan Lanning up at Oregon is recruiting and he's got all this thing. And I've heard someone say, you know, we asked him about the conference thing. And he says, look, whatever's going to happen in the end, the University of Oregon's going to be a part of it. Like wherever there's big, we're playing big time football. I don't really care what, and I think it's a great line. If I'm Washington State, yeah, I'm nervous. If I'm Oregon State, maybe I'm nervous. If I'm the University of Arizona, I'm going somewhere. The next shuffle of the deck, the Big 12 is going to take me then. You are still valuable enough. You're the state flagship university of a big growing state with a lot of tradition in at least basketball and potential in football. I don't think you got to jump. And I think if you have a cooler thought process, you say, what exactly are we getting out of this? Great, we get 10 million more a year. We're now giving up all of our traditional rivals. We're no longer in all the states where we get a lot of our students. We're traveling Florida, West Virginia, Ohio, like all over the place. Yeah, we're in Texas, but no offense to the schools that are in the Big Ten and Big 12 in Texas. It's not Texas or Texas A&M we're playing. We're in Lubbock and things like, you know, I just think everything in this sport, these administrators get focused on the smallest things. They can't see the forest through the trees. It's how someone can naively sit there and say, we must stop tampering. Like I said in the last one, we must stop tampering and the transfer portal and decisions based on money, not loyalty, in front of the United States Congress. And then 1 minute later, take a call where they're being tampered with and offered more money to switch an entire university to a new conference and screw everyone. How many student athletes signed up at Colorado thinking, hey, we get to play in California where my parents are from? Oh, hell you do now. Sorry, you're out. How many kids are now going to have to travel? Like you make huge decisions on that. I don't even think that they're as much. Some of them are hypocrites. Some of them are just so narrow focused. They couldn't create a playoff. They couldn't see this. They listen to the echo chamber of college athletics. It's, oh my God, NIL is bad. Oh my God. Oh my God. And they're like, hey, calm down. It's going to be all right. There's nobody just saying, calm down. There's going to be all right. It's, oh, they're going to make $8 million more dollars. That's it. We got to go. Why? Are you going bankrupt at Arizona? Have you been any good at football anyway? Like, Colorado sucks at all their sports. Well, they're probably good at skiing or a couple things, but
cross country too.
Cross country. Great. I'm sure there's a huge throng of fans out there cheering on the cross country team. I hope there are. Boring a spectator sport in the world. They run into
the
woods.
I'm going to guess cross country loses $1.5 million a year.
Yeah.
Probably.
Why panic? Like they've made it. The revenue deals, the revenue deals, the revenue deals. These schools aren't going under. Now, some of them will charge more money. You know, I had to point it out, like, hey, Florida State make more money in TV revenue than Central Florida because they're in the Big 12 and they're trying to, there's a revenue gap between them and Florida State in Florida. And then UCF charges each student like over $1,000 a year to an athletic feast and they make up and Florida doesn't, someone like that. Like there's deals like that. There's other ways to revenue. If I'm Arizona, I'm saying, are we winning? Do we have a better chance of winning? What is the point of this operation? Let's win. Let's have exciting games. Let's play people we want to play. Not will there be enough money that my offensive coordinator gets private jet time? Because we weren't any good anyway. So I say you stay. You add two teams. You get a nice little small league. Y'all try to win this thing. You have a better chance of success. You can play more not. That was the old Big East trick. Play more non-con. They just play five non-conference. That was Rutgers' trick, right? You go 5-0 in the non-con. It's hard not to have a winning season. Just jack them up. I wouldn't go. I'm not impressed with $10 million. The administrators will tell you it's a disaster because it's their money. But it's not your money. And I think a president has to look around and go, what? They're not having college sports without the University of Arizona. We're not getting left behind.
Everything.
That's my emotional rant. I got emotional. Yeah. I had to go.
We have no words. We have no rebuttal.
I'm going to go cry now.
Feelings.
I need a good cry room.
We weren't supposed to talk about feelings, but here we are talking about feelings. No, I mean, look, I agree 100% that this is, to me, you know, what's been done and is being done to college athletics is one of the most vacant, soulless adventures in non-leadership I've ever seen anywhere. It has been bad for the athletes. It's been bad for the fans. It's solely driven by what some TV network tells you you need to do. And the benefits are exactly what, you know, other than, as you said, well, we got more money and good for you. Good for you for getting more money. But you're going to tell me that, I mean, is West Virginia doing better because they go to Lubbock and Stillwater all the time? No. Has Nebraska done better in the Big Ten? No. Colorado going to the big, you know, Colorado bouncing all over the landscape, hadn't done anything for them. Oklahoma and Texas, is a very good chance they get their tails kicked in the SEC. USC and UCLA is the most ridiculous thing of them all. So I understand that. But if you're trying to put me in the president's chair at the University of Arizona and you're listening to this, and I'd be like, man, we've given you guys all these chances to try to come up with something, and we don't like what you've come up with. And so now, yes, do you swallow your pride to a degree and say, yeah, we'll go ahead and take that bad deal and stay here or not?
You know, part of all these decisions, I think, for realignment is like the long-term, big-picture view of what's coming in college athletics and college football, like what's coming in 8 years or 12 years or 15 years, where, and you hear it from ADs quite a bit, everybody wants to be in the club. And I don't know where the club starts and ends, the next evolution of college sports, this semi-pro type of league or leagues that eventually form, probably based around NIL/athlete compensation. So everybody wants to be in that, and there's a chase for there's more of a chase for dollars now than ever before, I think, because of the impending potential for paying athletes as employees or sharing revenue with them. So there's this like pressure to chase the money and to be in the club, so to speak. And I think that's it's kind of an unfortunate thing, right? Because we're at a place in college sports where conferences don't seem to matter anymore as far as what they used to be about, which is geography and culture and like-minded programs and all that stuff. It's just a money chase, and everybody feels the pressure of the next evolution of this massive realignment or athlete compensation. And I think it's driving a lot of it.
Yeah, but okay. I think it's driving all of it. But here's the thing about the college administration, college Sports Inc., right? They always are scared. They always play fear monger. Everything is a disaster that's waiting to happen. And the disaster never really comes. And so, look, you need $10 million more dollars in the University of Arizona. You got 39,000 students go there, $250 a student. You got your $10 million, you get to stay right where you are. I'm not necessarily in favor of that because some poor kid's got to pay $250 more dollars. But you want to make $10 million? It's not like these people are standing around going, "How?" It's not like someone says, "Hey, you owe me $10 million." I'm going to be like, "Well, I got nothing. So what do you want me to do?" But you're the University of Arizona. You're not getting left behind. Why jump at this if it's like, I don't know if this is that great? What about winning games? How much more money do we make if we start winning games? How much more money do we get if we're playing familiar opponents? How much more money and students and all the stuff do we get if we're playing games in California, where so many of our students come from? I think there's also a bit where you have to look and say, as sure as you look at the Pac-12 office with a calloused eye and say, look, man, you guys have been lying to us for a while. I know it's new leadership, but the last one didn't pan. I wouldn't trust that either. But I certainly wouldn't just trust the, oh my God, you're doomed, and making a decision. So, you know, I don't know that anyone really cares how good Arizona football is. Hey, field the team. Maybe you do all right. Maybe you don't. I'm not worried about that. I'm like, hey, what do we got to do to get? I mean, let me tell you what. Jed Fish starts winning. He ain't going to care about Arizona either. He's going to go somewhere else. I know there's going to be people listening go, no, I really do care. I get you really do care. I get people want to win at Arizona football. But it's not like the school is going to crumble if you're not there. Or you're sitting there going, man, we are having so much fun. We're winning 11, 12 games every year. If we don't do this, all of a sudden we're going to win 6. It's not going to be fun anymore. Right. Like if you start winning, it's a bonus, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I'm really not trying to be disrespectful, but it's not like this. I mean, look, if I'm Alabama as an institution and you see the surge in out of state enrollment and the everything that everyone knows about Alabama is tied to football. So much of it, that and Bama Rush. You got to protect that. Right. But I don't know that that's the case at Arizona. I don't think people are like, oh, dude, I'm going to University of Arizona. Awesome. Great school. Yeah, we got this football program, man. I got to be there for it. It's a thing, right? Right. We got packed it out. Basketball. Yeah, really good. But are you no longer going to be good in basketball? Is it got a great basketball league in the Big 12? I'll give it that. But does that make you better or not? Because being in a really good league doesn't necessarily make you better.
It might make it more difficult.
It can make it harder. Yeah. Right. I've always thought, like, if NC State was in something other than the ACC, they'd probably be really good. Instead, it's like they're butting heads up against everything. So I just don't know. I would not necessarily jump. I just think way too much is made in the chatter about $10 million. And because somehow they've sold all of us on how important this is. So it's like, what, this is about NIL now, not about facilities. It's about NIL now, not about how many staff you got. You are always going to lose bidding. You've always lost bidding wars to big schools. You've always lost bidding wars to schools that have more tradition. Like, oh, my offensive coordinator left. $10 million isn't going to keep your star offensive coordinator. It's not going to, you know, keep your star coach to stay at Arizona if Alabama offers him the job.
Just FYI, Arizona already charges a $100 athletic fee for undergrad and $50 for grad, so they'd have to bump it up if they're going to recoup.
$350 and you're done. You're out the door. That's $10 million.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. Is that worse or better?
Well, I mean, that to me, I've never been in favor of student athletic
fees. I don't like them, but yeah. But the schools don't care. They'll fee you to death on everything.
Clearly, yes, but. Yeah, and there's plenty of schools that prop up athletics with student fees that are involuntary for the regular student body.
All right, Arizona State, stay or go? You have to go. You have to stay or go with Arizona or no?
I mean, I don't know whether you have to, but as Ross said and what I have heard, I mean, I think there's an increasing likelihood that they are in this together, one way or the other, in or out. And part of that is a joint board of regents. Part of that is a feeling that those two should be playing each other all the time in everything. You look at Oklahoma and Oklahoma State; those are not equal athletic departments. Certainly at the football end of things, Oklahoma has always been much better. Arizona State, you know, 6 for one, half dozen for the other. So they seem to be much more peer driven. So I think they should stay together. I mean, that's the interesting dynamic, as was pointed out, that, you know, Michael Crow probably is as much to blame as anybody for the state of the Pac-12, but he's invested in the Pac-12 because he was a Larry Scott supporter and was in, you know, up to his hips in all the bad decisions that they made. So he should probably cut his losses and get the heck out of the league, but I know he's invested in the league. So if I'm Arizona State, I mean, that's another one. Somebody's got to swallow some pride here and say, well, if the University of Arizona says we got to go, then I guess we got to go. Or the other way around. You know, you don't want to be dragged around by the University of Arizona, but that may be what happens.
Well, and remember Dan.
No, go ahead. I'll do the UCF thing in a second.
The UCF numbers. Remember the last two Julys, the last two big realignment shakeups, with Texas OU and USC UCLA, it was kind of one school, right, saying, we're going to go, you know, do you want to tag along sort of thing with Texas and then with USC. And, you know, UCLA and Oklahoma each said, yeah, we want to go as well. That is my sense of kind of how it came about, those two situations. So now those two things are very different, I guess, than the Arizona State dynamic, because as Pat said, they're a little more similar when it comes to history and resources and all that stuff. I mean, the biggest separating factor probably is Arizona's basketball program, but also Arizona State has Phoenix, is in the huge metroplex of Phoenix. And you would think, you know, it's bizarre. Arizona State's one of those schools where you like scratch your head, like, why haven't they been better athletically, especially at football, where they're located? So they have that going for them. So it's a little different situation than the last two, but you wonder if it is a deal where, you know, Arizona, which most believe is more susceptible to leaving and has been the last during all this, would be like, hey, we're gone. You know, you want to come along or not?
I would probably band together. I think the same thing with Arizona State. You're not going to get, in the end, you're not going to get totally left behind. Or if you are, it's not going to matter whether you're in the Big 12 or the Pac 12. Right, this thing gets down to like 48 teams, you ain't in no matter where you are. But I would try to stick together with Arizona and go as a package, because there is some strength in numbers there. Let me say this. So Florida may, I shouldn't have used Florida, Central Florida, all that as example, but Florida may charge an athletic fee. They did in 2019. I can't find the new thing. UCF, though, charges, if you take 30 credit hours, you're paying $430 a year in student athletic fee at UCF. It's $28.8 million.
Whoo. Wow.
Yeah. They have ways to do this.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a lot. There's your Big 12 right there.
Right. One other quick thought on Arizona State is they have tried very aggressively to upgrade their academic standing. You know, they've created a huge honors program, and they've really tried to market themselves more nationally. And I still think, given especially their location, you are better off probably in the Pac-12 from that standpoint, because you're going to just draw so many kids from California. And there are still more academically prestigious schools in the Pac-12 than there are in the Big 12.
Well, and Arizona State, I think, is an AAU team or AAU school, I believe, which is kind of important for the academics. I think this is a great point by Pat, and I failed to mention it earlier. Is, you know, when we talk about Michael Crow, the president there, he has, you know, relations with those academic institutions in the Pac-12, like the other AAU members, like Cal and the Stanford and all that, and to leave that for a conference without very many AAU schools. I don't know which ones are AAU in the Big 12, but I'm sure it's much less than,
I think it's
than
like
those.
Kansas, and that might be.
Yeah,
it.
That is a factor. I would think that would be a factor for him as a president, and for many academics, that is certainly an issue.
Utah, stay or go? Pat?
Stay. I think Utah's has kind of found its sweet spot there. That's definitely a place where you're going to be, I think, more California-focused. You can and have won there. You've had really good success from a football standpoint and in some of your other programs. So if I'm Utah, I very much want to stay and want that to that thing to work out in the Pac-12.
Oh, come on. You don't want a pairing with BYU and the Big 12?
You know what?
Right.
That's also
speaking
another
of rivalries.
Thing that they would say, just because BYU's in that league, we don't want to be in that league.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I that is something that I don't know how true it is, but certainly I've heard that, you know, that buzz about the Utah BYU situation there. Utah does obviously make more sense in the Pac-12 and in the West Coast team playing the West Coast teams. They certainly do. The issue is, will they be pressured if the Arizonas go and there's that one more spot, the 16th spot maybe in the Big 12, does Utah take it? I think the pressure at that point would be ratcheted up pretty high because you'd have seven remaining Pac-12 teams, and it would be a somewhat dire situation. So out of pressure alone, I think Utah's decision might hinge on the Arizonas. But if they stay, I would think Utah is better off staying.
Yeah, I think they're much better off staying. It's working, right? You don't fix broken. And again, this playoff offering an automatic bid, and you're sitting there at Utah going, all I got to do is get through Oregon, Washington, maybe some of these other, we should be right there. We're at the top of our heap and we can get into a playoff. We could host a playoff game in Salt Lake City. Like, it wasn't long ago they were boxed. They went undefeated and were ranked sixth.
Yeah.
They had the number one draft pick and Urban Meyer as the coach, and they were sixth. Like, they have come so far. And to be staring at an automatic bid and potential home games and all those types of things, I just think the Pac-12 offers especially a small pack. I'd be happy with 10 teams if I were these leagues.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, give me 10. We'll just add, we'll go ahead. You know, if we got to add one, we'll add one. If we got to add two, we add two. Let's just a nice, clean, this is going to be short term. We don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. Oregon and Washington are going to leave to the Big Ten if it goes to that thing. If it breaks, it's going to break no matter what league you're in. And we're Utah and we're winning and we've got the Salt Lake market that's growing and we're exciting. Someone's going to take us. We're going to have a spot, or it's going to get so small that we never stood a chance. I wouldn't move. I don't know what. It's like if it's the last spot at the big, why is it the last spot at the Big 12? Like, if the Big 10 is going to go to 20 teams and the Big 12 is going to go to 20 teams. Right.
Yeah.
Like
if Washington
and Oregon are leaving the Big 10 and they're going to go like 18 and at that point, the Big 12 will say, yeah, we'll go to 18.
Yeah.
So I just don't think there's that dire thing. All right. What about Oregon and Washington? These are the two that. Certainly, Oregon is the most developed, passionate-based, funded. Everything's great about Oregon except this location. That's the only thing holding its back in terms of this realignment. What do you do right now? Do you call the Big 12? Do you? Big 10 doesn't seem interested right now. They don't have to be.
Right.
Do you sit there and say, look, guys, we're not going anywhere. Stick with us four up here in the Pacific Northwest. We'll add Boise. We'll add UNLV. We'll add SMU. We'll add San Diego State. We'll be fine. We're going to be fine out here. Doesn't really matter. We're losing Colorado. Nobody cared about them anyway. We're going to lose Arizona. They weren't any good anyway. Like, nobody cares about that. Maybe they do it. They do in basketball. But where are we going, Pat?
Yeah, that's, to me, a much tougher calculus for both Oregon and Washington. And they... I think even more than Arizona and Arizona State, to use your logic, Dan, would be like, we're going to be fine no matter what. They are not having big time athletics without us. Those two have football success. They have good fan support. They are good in other sports, and they could probably keep their nose pressed against the window looking in at the Big Ten and say, sooner or later, they're going to let us in when everything else blows up. Or if there's a 10 years down the line, if there's an ACC Pac-12 joint venture, we'll be in with those schools and we'll just be the Western division of that. I would not jump at the Big 12 if I were either of those schools, but I'd sure be nervous that, you know, your sweet spot continues to erode. in terms of actually having a viable Pac-12. So to me, I'm fascinated by those two schools and kind of where they fit into this, because they're more important and more valuable than the Arizona schools, but they've got less mobility, I think. So it's kind of stuck.
Yeah, it is weird. That's a good way to put it. They are probably more valuable and bigger brands. And Washington, right, good academic AAU school. Oregon's got the brand and the Nike and all that stuff. So they are more valuable, but they do have fewer, at least right now, options, it feels like. Because I think the Big 12 and everybody knows that Oregon and Washington prefer to get into the Big 10, and eventually that might happen down the line. So a temporary fix is going to the Big 12. Is that really what you want to do? Does the Big 12 really want you if they know that you're just their temporary fix? I'm not so sure. So the other options are, stay in the Pac-12 and pull up a couple of Mountain West teams, right, and patch this thing together. In itself, a temporary kind of fix, or if things really collapse, you know, and if the Utahs and the Arizonas, if they end up going to the Big 12, does the door crack open from the Big 10 for a partial share? Maybe let Oregon and Washington in some kind of partial share situation, or does the ACC, which is always looking for ways to add value in some way. Do they do some kind of partnership with those two? Do they add those two? Do they have some kind of merger with those two and a couple more teams, Stanford and Cal? Is there something they can do there, like a mini alliance, if you will? So those are all options, and none of them seem real great, except even the Big Ten option, because you'd be taking a partial share probably. So they are in a pickle. I was talking to somebody who spoke to a pretty high level person at Oregon, and the person said, "We're effed," and that sums it up quite nicely.
Yeah. So what if you did this? You end up with 8 or something. Let's say they end up with 8. Just sit at 8, play 7 league games. What do you got to have a conference championship game? 12?
I mean, that you can get a waiver on that.
Yeah, did they change that for
the Big 12 when they had 10?
Yeah.
I'm sitting there. I'm at Oregon. Like I know it's not ideal. I'm not coming up with ideal, but is it like straight panic time? Like what share? How much money is the playoff going to give each conference? And how many cuts into the pie is that? I mean, if you got 10 or 8 teams, you're getting, if you got a 16 team league and you got an 8 team league, you just got double the share of the playoff.
Well, right? It's not going to, so it's going to change though. I mean, the revenue distribution model or the new money in the playoff is going to change, you know?
How so?
Instead of an even distribution to the Power Five, right, it's going to be more on performance in the amount of teams you get in the playoff and the amount of games you win. So I think you're going to see
I don't know that there. The Pac-12 with Oregon is going to win less games in the playoff than the Big 12. Big 12 is going to get one team in. Yeah, Pac-12 is going to get one team in.
Yeah.
Well, you just got 2 shares. So there's some millions of dollars. Win. You fill your stadium, you sell your gear, you build yourself for the next thing. Just win. That's the fun. What is the point here?
Yeah.
Is it to win, or is it so we can hire more associate deputy athletic directors?
Well, it used to be, Dan, it started off as the goal of college athletics was to have fun when you're not getting an education in class. Yeah. And then it became win games.
But that's part of it, too.
And then winning now is part of the fun. Make money. Now it's make money. It's make money now.
Part of the fun is when,
you know, yeah.
Yeah. Because they've sold us on this thing that we're all inside their sort of their deal, right? They don't mention the student fee. How many stories did you read about the $28.8 million that UCS getting? By the way, I think the University of Florida is getting more than that because they're charging even more. Student fees, right? So there's a ways to do this. But what's exciting is when your team is winning and the kids go to the go to the game on Saturday, and the alums come back, and everyone goes, "Oh man, that's awesome! You know, let's go to a game." Not, "Hey man, we're playing some team you never heard of from halfway across the country. We're not as good as we used to be, and but it's going to be a blast." Yeah, no, it's like, yeah. Like, okay, let's take generic.
We're not
recruit.
As good as we used to be. We're out of our geographic comfort zone. We don't play our rivals, and you got to pay $9.99 a month for the streaming service too to see.
And you got
to
pay $9.99, yeah. But or you've got to, but guess what? When we buy out, we're going to be able to afford the buyout for that crappy defensive coordinator we never should have hired. But you ought to see our new lobby of champions. It's brilliant. You know, like, who? I'm not allowed in there, right? Yeah. What about, so like, win, make the playoff. You could sit there with eight teams, play seven games, have five non-conference games, try to set some scheduling alliance with the ACC or somebody where it's like, hey, you know, at least with Washington, Oregon, and Utah, some kind of deal where like, hey, we'll guarantee a home and home, play four other games, schedule a little more aggressively around the, I don't know. There's ways to do this than just, oh my God, I better get in with this league. I just don't think panicking is the way to go. These schools have the money and the way they're spending money is different. So not great. Not going to tell you it's great, but generic football recruit. Let's say there's just generic football recruit sitting in like Fresno, California, and he's a four-star player, and he's saying, I'm going to go to either Oregon or Arizona. Is he going to sit there and say, I'm going to Arizona because they're in the Big 12? Or are they going to go to Oregon because they're winning? I don't think that right now they go to Oregon. I don't think that changes. Certainly not in the next 3-4 years. Anyone?
No, I mean, I agree with you that there is a sense that to me that this is a good time to play the long game in terms of letting things play out as opposed to being the front edge of a movement that you may not regret, that you may regret or that may not work out well for you down the road, you know?
Most of them don't work out. Like, Nebraska's not having as much fun as it used to. They got tons of money. A lot of it doesn't work out. All right, we've done enough on this. We'll do more. I want to get to this. Our continued discovery that the state of Iowa is actually like a mutant colony of Vegas.
That's what I think of when I think of Iowa is Las Vegas.
That's what they want. They're hiding. They're hiding this thing. They're partying on that lake.
Yeah.
They're brewing beer to buy linebackers. The Swarm Iowa beer gave like $88,000 or something like that already in 1 month.
See, that's two tight ends and a free safety right there.
Yeah, you got to use that money judiciously. See, we're not worried. I mean, this is the thing. Iowa is sitting around going, we got all the money in the world, and they're still trying to turn everyone into an alcoholic drinking the Swarm Golden Air because we need more. They'll never give up. $58,500 in Swarm Golden Air Collective.
There we go.
In July alone. Good job, Hawkeyes. They're drinking. They're partying on their boat. They're letting everyone think they're going to these caucuses, but they're really not. And now we get details on the gambling operation going on out there. Iowa State quarterback Hunter Deckers has been accused of betting on events, including Cyclone games, including a 2021 football game.
We've got great schools, the students score high. We go for number one, not just to get by. inside of the Bronx.
We think that's great.
Over 357 schools in the state.
If you visit here, you won't want to go home.
Join us with a hooray for the awesome Cyclones. It's ISU, the home of Hilton Magic. Driving with the top down by College Creek.
They're going to have to add.
And the flowers shine.
Let's hear a hooray for the warm
They're going to have to add that they have a Gambleholic Anonymous meetings every Tuesday night.
For a glass of water when you
All right, cut that. That awful song. They're going to have to add that they're gambling. All right. That's a good drop, Sean. Good drop. Hunter Deckers is in trouble. He's amongst four current or former athletes charged with tampering with records by the Iowa Criminal Division. Okay, here's his deal. He was on DraftKings. He apparently used his parents, Scott and Jamie Deckers, which one's the degenerate? We don't know. To disguise his identity, placed for bets apparently with the parents to disguise his identity. Here's the deal, though. And this is why anyone listening has anything to do with college sports, just don't gamble. You just can't do it.
No.
366 bets totaling $2,799. You know what the average on that is?
$7.65.
Yeah, $7.65. The kid was betting nothing.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, he won, so then he probably came. I don't know. I don't know how they calculate. $7.65. He's betting nothing. And now he's in a whole bunch of trouble. The integrity, what is it called? U.S. Integrity?
U.S. Integrity, yep.
They are going to get you. I talked to those guys.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No.
I want to get rid of, I have an account that I signed up for when it first came legal. I don't use it. I got to get rid of it because I'm like, these guys, they're listening to this right now. Hello, you U.S. Integrity.
It. Yeah. They know tap, whether tap, or not tap. You're, they know whether you're wearing pants or not right now. Guarantee it.
Deckers is cooked for $7.65 a game bet average. Then not to be outdone. We go cross state to, where do I get that thing? The kid's name is Christensen. He's a baseball player at Iowa. There it is, Iowa. Sorry about that. Greg Christensen? I don't know. He was a baseball player. He's accused of operating a, quote, scheme with his mother who allowed him to hide his identity to manipulate online mobile transactions as if his mother was placing the bets. He bet 559 times. 23 of them on Iowa sporting events, 2,400 at least was the total. If it's only 2,400, he bet $4.29 per bet. But it's probably more than that. It's at least 2,400. Now, are these guys just stealing mom and dad's identity or is mom getting involved in this, Pat?
Well, I mean, mom, in the case of the Iowa kid, the Iowa baseball player, mom even admitted, she set up the deal for him. And I'm sure that's the case is that, you know, if you're underage, it's like it's 21 state. And you're like, hey, you know, I just want to like bet $5 on this NBA game. But can you set this up for me? And I guess some parents said, yeah, sure. The problem being you're an NCAA athlete and that's a violation. And then where it gets really bad with these guys is when you're betting on your own school. And even worse with Hunter Decker and at least one other Iowa State player betting on your own team. Presumably betting on your team to win, but that doesn't say. So this is like absolute slam dunk, clear cut, do not do stuff that they did. And you can sit there and say these are outdated rules or what have you, anything you want. It doesn't matter. These are very clearly understood on campus, but I wonder if schools were just caught so asleep or unaware or not caring that as sports wagering became legal all over the place, they didn't really double down and reinforce, hey, you can't do this. I was talking to a college athlete last night and asked, I said, yeah, how many athletes at your school are gambling? He's like, oh, 70%. And it's a smaller level. They probably can't even bet on their own teams, but it doesn't matter. If you're betting NFL, if you're betting NBA, you could get in trouble. So There's just been, I think, a real lack of awareness on campuses and a lack of getting in front of this from the NCAA, and now the chickens are coming home to roost in Ames and in Iowa City so far.
You think maybe mom wasn't aware of the rules, or mom was just like, screw it?
Mom probably wasn't aware of the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Son
mom,
sure should have been.
Come on. How do you not know? How do you not know that's a bad idea? If it was okay, he would just sign up himself.
Right.
That's bad. Good mom in my behavior. I don't like criticizing parents because I'm probably really crappy at it myself. But setting up an illegal gambling account for my college athlete son, that's not really, you're not winning mom of the year with that one.
No, it is unwise at best, if not outright negligent, reckless. But they, you know, if you don't know the NCAA rules, you might look at it like, well, yeah, they can sit in my basement and drink beer at age 19. You know,
that's some serious naivete to not know that sports gambling is not a great thing for an athlete. Like, you've heard of Pete Rowe, like anything. Iowa, Iowa, Iowa.
The wildest state in America.
Mm-hmm. Ain't Little fooling Las me Vegas. No more. Not fooling me with your windswept fields of corn. All your cyclists.
They're all sitting on their water. Houseboats. They're sitting on their houseboats on Lake Okeechobee betting like crazy on MLB right now.
They've been selling us for years on how, you know, we're American values. Hell yeah, you are. Dirty, dirty Iowa. I love you. Of all the states, scandal strikes Iowa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Otter update. KMPH says the Otter 841, the Santa Cruz Otter that was stealing surfboards from the surfers, has been MIA for a while. No sightings. So now people are, the free Otter people are worried there might be like someone rubbed them out. the government.
He's now a pelt somewhere. Yeah.
I don't know. Come home, Otter. There's a lot of attention. Everyone is trying to spot the Otter 841. And we have not seen anything lately. So if you're out there, listen to the pod, Otter. Send us a message somehow.
Clap your fins together twice if you're okay.
Yeah.
Once if you're in trouble.
Okay. Other animal news. You know, I'm going to put this in the little chat or the little rundown. You guys can take a look at this because you're going to have to look at the picture.
Okay.
Okay. We'll do a people's court on this. It's in there. Just put it in.
Oh, yeah. This is...
it's under zoo. It's under zoo in the thing. So get it. Call it up. Let's just lead the headline. Chinese zoo denies that it's sun bears. It has sun bears for people to... I didn't know there was a sun bear, but there's something called a sun bear. It denies that its sun bears are actually people in costume. Okay? So...
Oh, yeah.
A zoo in eastern China has denied suggestions that some of its bears were people dressed in costumes after videos of a Malayan sun bear standing on its hind leg and looking uncannily human went viral. The people have been going to the zoo here in Hangzhou. I'm probably mispronouncing it. Sorry. The Hangzhou Zoo. My apologies to everyone in Hangzhou who listens.
We do have a big audience, sir.
You never know. I wish we did, because that's probably like some... I've never heard of the city. It's probably like, we got 73 million people live here. People have been going to the zoo and saying, this doesn't look like a bear. I mean, you look at this video. It looks like a college mascot.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It looks like a college mascot. It looks like
what is it?
If the main
is it
black
a guy
bear
in there, or is it a real bear?
The Chinese, you know, the Chinese government.
I don't believe anything the Chinese say.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Skeptical.
Yeah. The Chinese said, just stop great. Right there.
They said, no, you don't understand this animal, this species. I got to tell you, this thing, if that is an actual species, I'd rather come across a grizzly. I would die of fright if that thing was like waving at. I'd rather just get mauled by the grizzly.
Well,
People's Court, Pat, is that a real bear, a real sun bear, or is that, you can look this up on CNN or whatever. Just type in Chinese bear.
I'm looking at it.
Is that a real bear or some guy, zoo worker, dressed up in a bear costume?
Well, there's an easy way to tell. First of all, it's a bear. It's an actual bear. And the easiest way to tell is if you go all the way down to the 10th paragraph of this story, adult bears stand of heights up to 28 inches. That's 2 feet four. There's no zoo workers that are 2 foot four. So if the bear
You don't know that.
If the bear is 6 foot, guess what? That's a fake. If it's 2 foot four or even 3 feet tall, it's a real bear. I'm going to go with that. All right. Unless we have child labor law.
So there's no scale. This is more like a ferret.
Yeah. They said it's the world's smallest bear.
Oh, my God. It's 28 inches and can weigh 143 pounds. Holy cow. That's a
tank.
That is a linebacker. A fullback. Pat level. Imagine something 28 inches tall and 143 coming at you. Ooh. So I'm not reading 10 paragraphs of a story. Screw you, CNN, you clickbait. You could have led with that. What is this?
I really thought it was a person, too.
It looks like a person.
I'm disappointed. I was just going to go with the opposite of whatever the Chinese contend.
I still think it could be a person.
That's a person in a suit. That's what that is.
It looks like a person in a suit, right?
Here's the thing. Bears have haunches. That thing's got a human ass. It does not work. That's not how bears are built.
Look at that head.
Bear expert
Sean. Nobody knows
Sean.
How a sun bear is built. Come on. Dan's reaction when I said they're 2 feet eight, there's no zoo workers 2 foot eight. You don't know that.
You don't know that, by the way. Okay, there goes back now. So there's been Chinese zoo, the Chinese zoo scandals, I guess, are piling up. I'm reading this other one. Uh-oh. 2013, also from CNN. So, yeah, could be. I'm not reading 10 graphs down to find out this is all wrong, but Chinese zoo angers visitors by passing off a Tibetan Mastiff dog as a lion. And there's a video of this thing. A zoo in China has angered visitors by trying to pass off a hairy dog as a lion. A visitor surnamed Liu told the state-run Beijing Youth Daily she discovered the fraud when visiting the zoo in the park, with her son. They approached the cage for an African lion and were shocked to hear the beast inside emit a bark.
Goodness.
The zoo is absolutely trying to cheat us. They are trying to disguise dogs as lions. What the? Okay. Lesson one, don't ever go to a Chinese zoo, apparently. Go to pandas, right?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Just throw like, go see our mighty lion. It's a golden retriever, bro.
Golden retriever with like that fake mane you can get for your dog. Oh, my gosh.
That bear dog thing, whatever, that is terrifying. I don't care if it's 28 inches. I would just be so scared of it.
28
right.
inches. That's like my hip high, not even, right?
All right. We've clearly lost our way.
Yep.
It tends to happen. Appreciate everyone listening. As long as the Pac-12 stays intact, this will be it for the week. If not, we'll be back. Who the heck knows? Could be retaping in an hour. It's the fun world of podcasting. Continue listening. Share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. Leave us nice reviews, all of that. We will talk to you later.